You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Proverbs 3rd chapter, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 16. I'm going to read it from the New King James. As well as the New Living Translation. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Then dropping down to verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Those same verses from the New Living Translation read Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. And if you will do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Verse 16, she offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? Hallelujah. And I really like a genuine, spontaneous presence, not manufactured presence. Hallelujah. When we lift up Jesus and exalt him, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Amen. So last week, I started a series entitled A Strategy for Longevity. Strategy for Longevity. And the basic theme is that if we're going to not just obtain, but if we're going to sustain, and if we're going to maintain what God has given us, whether that's our families, our marriages, our businesses, we need to have a strategy for longevity. And it was kind of built upon this theme that came out of me almost spontaneously from the Spirit of God a couple months ago. We have to learn to think long and wide. Long means think about how your decisions today are going to affect you 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, and even beyond your lifetime. And think wide means who else is going to be affected by my decisions other than me. A selfish person never thinks long, never thinks wide. A selfish person is caught up with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. It's all about what I feel like now, what I want to do right now. And we clearly understand that that is the signs of immaturity. No one does that more than a child. A child does not think about anybody else when they're doing what they're doing. A child just feels what they feel, do what they do. My grandson, Daniel Jr., is in the house with us yesterday, and I'm watching. I had just got finished telling him, stop yelling in the house. And grandmother kept saying, use your inside voice, and he hasn't discovered what that is yet. And he's always yelling, and so if he's on his iPad playing a game, I win! We said, stop yelling. Stop yelling. Use your inside voice. If you don't get something like, stop yelling. Stop yelling. And I'm watching the game and it looked like the South Carolina women Gamecocks was about to lose. As a matter of fact, I got tickets to the game this afternoon and there's a timeout, it's 1.4 seconds left. And Pastor Marcia said to me, you know you can sell those tickets. The woman of faith. She said, you know, you can go ahead and sell those tickets because it's... And so everybody knew it was over. And they throw the ball to Cardoza, who has never hit a three-point in her career ever. And for that reason, nobody was defending her. Nobody was defending her. Because they just knew we were going to go to somebody else. And I found out later Don Staley told her, shoot the blankety blank. We ain't gonna say what the blankety blank was. And she shoots it, and it releases her hand at about 0.3 seconds. It goes in, and I jump up, yeah, yes, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, yeah, yes, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Everybody else comes running, what happened? And my grandson says, Papa, no yelling in the house. No yelling in the house. What could I say? But when he feels like yelling, he ain't think about what anybody else is thinking about at that time. And when you think long and strong, when you think long and wide, you got to think about other people. So we're talking about a strategy for longevity. I told you I want to cover a strategy for longevity in three areas. And last week, we dealt with relationships. I gave an introduction, and we dealt with relationships. We talked about the fact that we first start off with the relationship, our most primary relationship that we first have, is with our own family, with our mothers, with our father, with our parents and children. And I talked about how parents are to raise your children and nurture your admonition of the Lord as God instructs you, not just be based upon tradition. And then children should honor their parents. And if you treat them right, they'll pay you back. According to Proverbs 31, they'll rise up and call you blessed. And a child, and then a father, and then a husband joins, and he also praises her. And so we talked about that you got to do things today because the investment is for tomorrow. You have to think long and wide. And then we talked about relationships, and he that is going to be he that will have friends got to show himself friendly. And that you have to learn to navigate through even issues with friendships. You can't just cut people off every time they disagree with you. And a real friend can be honest with you and tell you the truth. And if a real friend tells you the truth about you or about the situation, you shouldn't cut them off because that's a friend. Okay? I told y'all, some of you, I hadn't told this story in many years, but as spring is coming, and you can see this here, man riding down a country road, and he's in his convertible. And as he's riding by, he yells out to a car that's approached him and said, pig! And the man before, he's going to call me. He yelled back, rolling, and said, cow! The man kept on going and ran right into the pig. Y'all get that later. He thought the man was talking about him. He was trying to help him. Y'all still, I can't explain it to you, y'all. I told you once I got to explain it, it doesn't work anymore. He was warning him there was a pig. He wasn't calling him a pig, but he automatically assumed the man. And sometimes people are trying to help us and you think they're trying to hurt you. And so you got to learn to navigate through those things. And so we talk about longevity in relationships. And I said the second thing I want to talk about, I'm going to deal with today, is financial longevity. Everybody say long money. I'm calling this financial longevity or long money. Look, somebody say, you need some long money. You need some long money. When we first started our ministry, we were down on River Drive, straight down about 3 miles on the right. The building's just about falling apart that we were in there. 3801 River Drive, right after you go over Greystone and go down the bridge and cross the water there. That's where River Drive begins. Just as you approach, start to go up, that's the building that we grew in. Came in there with 40 people and left in 2.5 years later with a little over, with approximately 300 people. That's when we bought the place over in St. Andrews. But when we were there, there was a thrift shop across the street. Thrift shop, and I'm really assuming that man is going to be with the Lord now. Y'all know I'm always putting people saying people went to be with the Lord. But his name was Mr. Coon. Mr. Coon was an elderly white gentleman who used to come down and talk to me, and I would go talk to him. He tried to explain to me. I think he put some roses in front of our church and then try and tell me how to take care of roses. I couldn't figure out how to take care of them. Now, you got to prune them. You got to cut them right here. I'm like, please, Mr. Coon, you're going to have to come take care of these roses. Anyway, so Mr. Coon, as our church started growing, he would see the parking lot. See, he came down there. He said, he used to call him Little Preacher. Little preacher, Mr. Coon came down when he said, little preacher, you're packing them in down there, ain't you? You're packing them in. I said, yeah, God bless her. He said, well, I was just wondering something. He said, I got the shorts. I said, what's the shorts? I'm looking down there. I'm seeing you have nothing. He said, I got the shorts. He said, you patting them in down there. When you let me hold something, I got the shorts. I said, what's the short? He said, I'm short of money. Some of y'all got the shorts. But God wanted to have the longs. Everybody say my shorts are over. I'm going to have long money. So Proverbs 3:1-2, it tells us that if we obey the law of God, don't forget the law of God. The law here would refer to, don't think of it just in terms of Ten Commandments, what you can do and what you can't do, but the principles of God and the principles of his word. Verse 2 says, they'll give you length of days and long life and peace. I think another word, when some translation says for that word peace, prosperity. If we live by the word, God has promised us prosperity. That verse 16 said, length of days is in her hand. That's in her hand, the law of God. In her hand, the wisdom that comes from the word. It gives you long life. And in her left hand, riches and honor. He said, it'll give you long life, but it'll also give you the money to go with that life. You know, one of the things how they're always trying to inspire or in some cases cause people in my age bracket and older, even younger than me, to think about, they have this thing, we're always trying to get you to be concerned about retirement because they try to almost scare you with, you don't want to run out of money. You don't want to run out of money. And so there's a big concern that if you don't plan properly, there's nothing wrong with planning, okay, that you will run out of money. But you have to know, if I'm live my life according to the word of God, I'll always have. Say that with me. Say, I'll always have, and I will never run out of money. Come on now. Because I'm talking about financial longevity and long money. Length of days, that's quantity of days, quantity of years. And in her left hand, riches and honor. My grandson, he got this thing now. He thinks, he'll start asking questions. He'll see pictures around. He said, who's that? I said, that's my mother. Who's that? Well, that was your great-grandmother, Nana's mother. And he said, what happened? I said, she died and passed away. And he said, she was 100? Yeah, fine. In his mind, when you get 100, then you're going to die. Now, come on now. Some of y'all would do good to believe you're going to be at least 100, okay? And so he's thinking long life is 100. And so God says in his word, if you live by my word, you'll have long life and you'll also have riches and honor. Now, financial longevity. If you're going to have a strategy for longevity and financial longevity, what I'm calling long money, you gotta be deliberate and intentional about how you earn, manage, spend, and save money. Let me say it again. If you're gonna have a strategy for financial longevity, or what I'm calling long money, you gotta be deliberate and intentional about how you earn, manage, spend, and save money. Proverbs 28:22. It says, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches. A man with an evil eye, a man who's not thinking, tries to get money any kind of way. That's what it means when it says hastens after riches. And does not consider the poverty that will come upon him. He doesn't thinking about long money. He just want to do what he wants to do today, get it any kind of way, and spend all, you know, my name is Jimmy, I take all you give me. Okay, and then I spend all I have. He does not consider the poverty that will come upon him. In other words, he doesn't have a financial plan. He is not thinking long and wide regarding financing. You can't afford to waste and be frivolous with money. Listen to me, saints. You cannot afford to waste and be frivolous with money. Proverbs 21:20. It says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of who? Of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. He said, there's treasure and there's oil in the dwelling of the wise. Wise people find a way to always have. Now, some of us had parents and grandparents. You get down to your last dime. Some of them, even though they didn't have the jobs we had, they didn't have the education we had, they always had something. Come on now. Grandma, big mama, whatever, she always had. Now, she may have to dig down deep to get it. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Dig down deep and maybe take it out and unfold it. But always had something. And yet, there are people today who are broke. And we got better jobs, and we got better education, and we have better houses and cars, but we're broke. Now listen, there's a difference between being poor and broke, because sometimes I talk like this, and y'all think I'm not being understanding or merciful regarding the poor. The Bible tells us we have a duty to help the poor. It tells us not to oppress the poor. But there is a difference between poor and broke. Let me say it again. There's a difference between poor and broke. The poor man has nothing. The broke man has nothing left. Let me say it again. The poor has nothing. The broke have nothing left. And sometimes it's better, if you got to choose, sometimes it's better to be poor than to be broke. I heard this, we sang this when I was a little kid, sang this rhyme. It said, and some of y'all young people not even going to be able to relate to this because you don't know who even Tarzan is. Okay, there was Tarzan and his wife or girlfriend with the name of Jane, and then their monkey was called Cheetah. Okay, you're with me. See, I got to explain everything now. You got Tarzan. You got his wife or girlfriend, her name was Jane. And then they had their pet monkey, that was Cheetah. So the song goes, Tarzan through the air. Tarzan lost his underwear. Tarzan said, me don't care. Jane make me another pair. Jane through the air, Jane lost her underwear. Jane said, I don't care. Cheetah give me another pair. Cheetah through the air. Cheetah lost her underwear. Cheetah said, me don't care. I don't need no underwear. See, it works if I explain it first, right? The poor don't need many times what you broke folks need. The poor don't need to make a car payment. They don't have a car. The poor may not need to make a mortgage payment. They don't have a mortgage. And so you end up sometimes being more stressed when you're broke than poor people. Y'all are catching this. Because you got more responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And so you can't afford to waste and be frivolous with money. There's treasure, there's all, but a foolish man squanders it. That verse from New Living Translation, Proverbs 21 and 20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they have. Fools spend whatever they get. Hunt your neighbor and say, that's not you, is it? That's not you, is it? Surely that's not you. Surely that's not you. Wise have wealth and luxury, fools spend whatever they get. My daughter and son now, my son-in-law, they're getting ready. They're in the housing market in New York City area. And we pray and we believe in God with them. That's a whole nother market. I mean, oh my goodness, New York City houses. I'm like, why? Why? Do you realize what you're paying for this here? I can get you five of those down here for that. Okay? But my daughter, now she understands the value of money now. But when she was a teenager, she would just, you know, give money. She would spend it, and she was real young. I said, why do you spend all your money? She said, well, isn't that what it's for? That's what some of y'all think. Money's just to spend. Maybe, but not all today. You spend it over time. You do stuff with it so you can have more to spend. Luke 15, 14, I often talk about the prodigal son, and there's so much in the story of the prodigal son, and it's a great way to make an altar call by coming back to the Lord and getting fellowship back with the Father and how the Father loves you. But there's some real financial principles that's in Luke 15. The whole chapter of Luke 15, it talks about losses. There's the parable of the lost sheep. There's the parable of the lost coin, and then there's a story about the lost son. And the lost son, he tells his father, give me what my inheritance now, and he leaves, and he goes far away. He wants to get away where nobody knows that he's a PK. He wants to get away, but nobody knows that he is a boy who's been raised in the things of God. And he goes away and he spends his money with wild people and wild women. And I just picture him coming into a bar saying, "Hey, drinks on me. Give everybody whatever they want." He just partying, he buying up drinks. He got all the women running after him. He running after them. And then Luke 15, 14 says, "And when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Now you can, and then the Bible goes on to say, I think in verse 15 says, "And no man gave to him." He's in poverty, and no man gives to him. The rich young ruler was not poor. Not the rich young ruler. The prodigal son, he was not poor. What was he? He was broke. He had nothing left. He spent all, and then a severe famine arose. Famine, no water. Famine, no crops. And in agricultural society, that means people are going through and people are struggling. And famine for us would represent a depression, a recession, or depression, a severe economic turndown. And he began to be in want. But I want you to see, the issue was not the famine. The issue was that he had spent all. If he had not spent all, he would have been able to make it through the famine. See, a lot of stuff, we're blaming on the economy. It's not the economy. It's that you didn't prepare for this economy. Mark my words. Y'all do understand how politics works, right? Well, whoever's in office takes all the credit and all the blame, Democrat or Republican. There's all the credit and all the blame. There have been great stock markets under Democrats and under Republicans. There have been recessions under Democrats and Republicans. There have been high interest rates under Democrats and Republicans. There's been low interest rates under Democrats or Republicans. And people don't understand this here. If something's not feeling good, they blame the president or whoever's office, thinking if they get somebody else, things gonna be better. It's like our Arab American friends who are very upset with Biden because he's supporting Israel. And I'm like, what are y'all thinking? What are you thinking? Do you really think that there's gonna be less support of Israel with the how Biden call him, with the predecessor? And sometimes y'all gotta understand, this economy goes in cycles. I want you to understand that. There's gonna be good times and there's gonna be bad times. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. There's gonna be good days, there's gonna be bad days. No matter who's in office, are y'all listening to me? So you gotta learn to prepare for the bad days during the good days. Amen? And so you gotta manage your money accordingly. I don't care who gets in office. Okay? We were watching the State of the Union the other night, and my whole family, even though we're all different homes all around the country, we all got a family chat going. And one of my sons said while President Biden was speaking, he said, all he gotta do is whisper stimulus check, and he will secure the black vote. Ain't got nothing else to say. Stimulus check. You gotta manage your money with stimulus checks and without stimulus checks. Are y'all listening to me? So you can't spend all. So what's some strategy for long money? Number one, you gotta put God first. I know you hear this over and over and over, and you're going to keep hearing it over and over as long as you're in this church. You're going to hear this over and over as long as you're listening to somebody who started doing this as a child, and my life is a result of it. putting God first. And right now I'm talking about putting God first in your finances, starting with the tithe, the one dime out of every dollar, and then offerings above and beyond that. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. Seek ye what? First. Seek ye what? First. Now that don't mean you don't have a job, because it didn't say seek only. Seek first. I seek first before a job. I seek first. Before the economy, I seek first. Before I get a degree, I seek first. Before I get married and think this person's going to add so much value to my life and help my finances, I seek first. My wife and I, we were talking about that last night. We were talking about the fact that we often say to people, they'll come to us with all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems, and we'll ask them, what's God saying? What's God say? What did God say? So you come to the pastor, and then we come back and tell you, well, what did God say? We don't replace God. We're going to send you back to God. We're going to remind you what God says. And I said, honey, I said, you realize we talk like that because we've lived like that. I said, most people, even Christians, don't really live like that. You make all kinds of decisions, then we back God into it. We marry who we want to marry. We go where we want to go. We spend the way we want to spend. We sleep with who you want to sleep with. And when things don't, we buy houses that we think we can afford. We move here, we move there. And when things don't work out, then we go to God. And there's a whole lot of crisis we can avoid if we go to him, what? First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things in the context, when you read Matthew 6, I'm teaching about this on Wednesday, the context, the things is all these things that sin is trying to get. All these things that everybody trying to give you ideas about, try this and try this on Instagram. All these things that everybody else is running after. God said, if you seek me first, the stuff that they trying to get will fall in your lap. Oh my God. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That's your substance. And the first fruits of all your increase. And here's the promise. Your barns are going to be filled with plenty. And your vats going to overflow with new wine. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately in 1 week. But over time, you're going to see, man, ever since I've been doing things God's way, my life is increasing. I'm better off this year than I was last year. I'm better off this decade than I was last decade. I'm better off in this season than I was in last season. But I got to keep putting God first. Honor the Lord, and your barns will be filled. Say that with me. Say, my barns will be filled with plenty. It said, and your vats will overflow. I speak overflow in your life. I speak overflow in your life. If you're going to have long money and a plan for long financial, you need some overflow. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. I'm still talking about first. The first things to put God first. 1 Corinthians 16 and 1 and 2. Paul writes, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also, look at verse 2, on the first day of the week. When? On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, based upon how God prospered you. So now we know we're talking not just the tithe. We're talking about even beyond that, storing up as God has prospered him, that there be no collections when I come. Paul said, just put in your mind first. You know, I thank God for, you know, times of spontaneous giving, and that's wonderful. And there are times when God tells me to give spontaneously. There's times when God tells me to give in a moment. But it shouldn't always take a move of God for you to give. Come on, it should not take some special music for you to give. Are y'all listening to me here? We get to the point, I don't just give emotionally, I give because God's good. He's good all the time, so I give all the time. Come on, he wakes me up every day so I can return to him every day. He's good to me, so I gotta be good to him in return. He said, just lay something aside. He said that there'll be no collections when I come. He said, I won't have to try to give you 1,000 new scriptures, all these new promises. He said, store up as God has blessed you. Think about it first. Romans, I'm still dealing with first. Romans 11, 16. If the first fruit be holy, then the lump is also holy. So if I'm going to have a plan for long money, longevity, for me, my children, my children's children, which is, I'm going to show you, is the plan of God, then you got to put God first. If the first is holy, the lump will be holy. If the root is holy, the branches will be holy. And we all know in 1 Kings 17 that when that woman was lacking and thinking she's about to eat her last supper, God challenged her to put him first. 1 Kings 17, 13 and 14, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do what you said, but make me a small cake from it first." And can I tell you, it takes faith to put God first. It takes faith to put God first. Let me tell you something else. It does not make sense in the natural to put God first. This ain't a natural principle. This is a supernatural principle. This is something that God has breathed on. This is revelation from heaven. This is one of the keys to the kingdom. This is one of the divine mysteries of the kingdom. God said, "You put me first, watch me bless the rest." Hallelujah. The second thing, if you're going to have a plan for longevity, you got to plan your spending. I said, you got to plan your spending. I'm about to use the B word. No, it ain't that word. What's wrong with y'all? It's budget. All a budget is a spending plan. And there's some of you say, "Listen, I don't have enough money to budget." That's why you need the budget. The less you have, the more you need the budget. If you have surplus and money coming from everywhere and money everywhere, okay, if it ain't here, you'll get it from here. But if that's not your situation, you need to budget. I heard somebody say years ago that you will waste money as long as you can afford to. Think about that. So you got to plan your spending. To plan your spending, that means, listen to me, you got to prioritize needs, wants, then desires. Say that with me. Say needs, wants, then desires. And so what messes people up, particularly if you come to a church like this and you look around at other people, you look at somebody else's car, you're on Instagram scrolling, look at everybody else, you'll start living in your desire realm without your needs being met. And then if you're not careful, you'll end up begging your wants, okay? You'll end up spending your needs and you're begging your wants. And you're begging your needs. You're buying your wants and then you're begging your needs because you don't have your priorities set.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.